Haji Ahmed wants to be Mukti for another year, inshallah. Maybe later on he'll shoot for president. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد So far we are now in the fifth part of the series of self-purification or tazkiyatun nafs. And to summarize briefly what we've been talking about over the past four nights, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn in the Holy Quran that indeed successful is the one who purifies his nafs, his self. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا As Allah mentioned in Surah Ash-Shams. And a person who does not purify his soul or his nafs is a loser. He will be at a loss. And then we said that this nafs is basically a connection between the ruh and between the shahwa, between the spirit and between the desires. And we spent two nights talking about some of these desires that this human being, if he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his nafsul ammarati bisu will be in charge and it will drag him towards or attract him towards the attractions, distractions. And then once he shows the potential, Iblis and his soldiers comes and uses these attractions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the human being to deviate the human being. So that's one end of the spectrum. That's when an-nafsul ammarati bis-su' comes in control. Then, last night we took a look at the ruh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي That the ruh that they ask you about is of the command of my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا But because we wanted to also take a Quranic perspective on ruh, we looked at some of the tafasir or interpretations of the word ruh appearing in the Holy Quran. And we went over four of these interpretations. Inshallah you remember them. One of them was Jibra'il. The second one was The Holy Quran, correct. The third one was a creation greater than the angels. And the fourth was the soul or the spirit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to induce life or induce things into existence altogether. Allah says, "Min amri Rabbi," of the command of my Lord. And what does the, what is the command of Allah? Innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. So now we said this nafs is in between this ruh, the spirit, the soul, and between the shahawat. So when his nafs al-ammarati bis-su' comes in charge, he goes towards the shahawat. When his nafs al-mutma'inna gets in charge, he ascends toward the ruh. What do we mean by this? That's one. Two, Allah sometimes mentions in the Quran, like the ayah we just read in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah says, "And do not be, O believers," Allah talks to the mu'mineen, because the ayah just before this one talks to the mu'mineen, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu." Allah says, "Wa la takunu kalladhina nasu Allah fa ansahum anfusahum." And don't be among those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so He made them forget themselves. What is forgetting oneself? How does one forget himself? What does that mean? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another ayah, Allah says, "And that's why," or "that's how our signs came to you, you forgot about them, so today you will be forgotten about." كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Today you will be forgotten about. So that is what we want to discuss about a little bit today. What is the forgetfulness of one's self? What is forgetting one's self? What is this? Before we engage in this, we need to have an introduction. And that is, the human being, he is the one who chooses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the aql, the mind. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told the human being, "Listen, here is the sirat al-mustaqim, this will take you to Allah. These other paths will not take you to Allah. Now it is up to you, human being. Allah will not force us to engage in a path, either the sirat al-mustaqim or the other path. He won't force us. However, He will hold us responsible. He will hold us responsible for our actions." Because a man came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh, in Nahj al-Balagha, this is mentioned. And he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, us going to Siffin, to the battle of Siffin, was it by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ?" He said, "Yes, of course, everything is through the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He said, "Then if that is the case, then I will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the difficulties we faced in this journey." Now, the battle of Siffin was not an easy battle. So Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi told him, hold on. Do you mean a command through which the human being has no choice? No. Otherwise, there would be no meaning for punishment and reward. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is imposing upon us, like robots, you know, you have to come to mass tonight, you have to, khalas. So then why would you get reward for coming to mosque? Or, wal'iyadu billah, you have to go to, for example, a place that is haram. So then why would I get a sin for going to the place that is haram? This ideology worked very well for the rulers of Bani Umayyah and Bani Al-Abbas. That we have no choice. People have no choice. I am here as a Khalifa by the command of Allah. And hence, you people have to listen to me. Because you have no choice. And nor do we have any choice. So this started the school of thought that is known as Al-Asha'ira, the Asha'irite. And the four school of rights or thoughts that are there today, besides Al-Madhab Al-Ja'fari, the other four school of thoughts, they all fall under this umbrella, the umbrella of the Asha'irites, where the human being has no choice. You're forced to doing these actions. That worked very well for the rulers. For the rulers, they liked this ideology, and hence they promoted it. Then there was the other school of thought that opposed this school of thought. And they were the Mu'tazilites, Al-Mu'tazila. So these were, the initial ones were Al-Asha'ira, the Asha'irites. They say you have no choice. Al-Mu'tazila or Al-Mu'tazilites said, no, you have complete free will. Complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He said, go, khalas. I'll see you on the day of judgment. You do whatever you want. And then came Al-Imamiyya. Imam al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi came. That salawat is of somebody is falling asleep. Yani, inshallah, yani, people are not too tired and falling asleep. So, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It is narrated in the hadith, جاء في الحديث الشريف رفع الصوت بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد يذهب النفاق من القلب. To raise the voice in doing salawat على محمد وآل محمد removes the hypocrisy from the heart. So raise your voice with a very loud salawat على محمد وآل محمد. So Imam al-Sadiq came to clarify. He said, it's not complete free will, nor are you commanded like a robot. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَمْرٌ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ It is somewhere in the middle. You know, the human being, he chooses his actions. And hence Amir al-Mu'mineen clarified this. He said, otherwise there would be no point for the reward or no point for the punishment. In fact, Amir al-Mu'mineen continues. He said, if that was the system, those who worship Allah should be blamed for worshipping because they're depriving their desires. You know, they're suppressing their desires. So they should be blamed. And those who don't worship Allah and just fulfill all the desires they want, they should be praised because they will be the smart ones. He said, that doesn't work. He said, otherwise, he said, لَبَطُلَ الثَّوَابُ وَالْعِقَابُ He said, that would stop all the punishment and the reward. So then he explained to this man. He told him, no, this is not the way it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the choice. We choose what happens. And we decide. So then the man said, may Allah bless you, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. You clarified our religion for us. He told him. This clarified religion for us. And indeed, this is a huge issue. Because it became a huge issue during the time of Imam al-Sadiq and until today. Nonetheless, the human being is the one who decides whether he follows his desires or whether he goes and ascends in the spirituality. It is said, Isa ibn Maryam, salamullahi alayhi. One day he was walking with his disciples. They came across a treasure. So the disciples of Isa ibn Maryam, they said, Ya ibn Maryam, Ya Ruhallah, we will stay here looking after this treasure. What do you want to do? He said, I'm going to enter in this city because my treasure is in this city. I'm going to find the treasure that I'm looking for in the city here. So you guys wait for me here. They said, okay, we will wait. And they left. He left them and he went into the city. He came into the city. He found an old house. Ruins. Old house. He enters into the house. He finds an old lady. He said, lady, may I be your guest for the night? The lady didn't know who he was, but when she looked at him, of course it is Nabiullah, Isa salamullahi alayhi. He had a face that was so bright and shining from taqwa and iman. So she said, yes, you're welcome to stay. He said, is there anyone else with you in the house? She said, yes, I have a son who was orphaned at a young age. He leaves every day. He goes to the desert. He collects some sticks of wood. He comes and he sells them. And we earn our living from this. He says, okay, I'd like to meet your son. She says, okay. So when the son came back in the evening, this lady told him, she said, son, today we have a guest. He's in that room. But this guest doesn't look ordinary. He has the features of those individuals who are pious, of those individuals who are God-fearing. He looks like a humble man. So why don't you go and meet with him and befriend him? He said, okay, mother. So he went, he started speaking with Isa alayhi salam, and again he didn't know who he was. Isa alayhi salam sensed that this young man has a good potential. He's a smart young man. But something seems to be bothering him. He told him, young man, what is bothering you? He said, there is something that is bothering me that no one can solve but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, well, tell me, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reveal to me how to help you, can inspire me how to help you. He said, you know, I go every day to the woods and I collect some sticks and I come and I sell them in the city. He said, yes, your mother told me. He said, one day as I was coming into the city, I passed by the palace of the king. There I saw his daughter. She was in the garden. And she was so beautiful. She's so beautiful that I fell in love with her. And this is what has changed my state to this. But how can I marry the daughter of the king when I'm a poor person like this? So that's why only Allah is capable of helping me. Isa alayhi salam said, well, why don't you tomorrow go to this king, go to the gate, tell the gatekeepers that you are here to meet with the king for a personal matter. When they allow you in, tell the king that you're interested in marrying his daughter. And see what he tells you and come and tell me. He said, okay. This man went to his mother. He said, you know, this guest of yours, you know, I don't know. He's saying, go to this king and talk to the gatekeeper and all this. The mother said, this man appears to be like a pious man. You know, the taqwa of iman sometimes features on the heart and the faces of the individual. There are certain actions, in fact, that if a mu'min does, or if a person does, you start seeing his face shining. In dunya. You see them and you see the humbleness, the taqwa on their faces. So she said, my son, this man, his features, his characteristics, his akhlaq, his manners, all appear to be divine. Now, he does not look like an ordinary man. And I don't think he would promise something or say something that he cannot deliver. So why don't you listen to what he has to say? What have you got to lose? He said, okay. So the next day he went at the king's palace and he told the guard that I want to go see the king. So they allowed him in for a personal matter. He went in. The king said, yes, they told me you want to see me for a personal matter. What is the matter? He said, well, your highness, I would like to marry your daughter. The king looked at him, you know, this poor fellow wearing these poor clothes. He told him, well, listen, if you want to marry my daughter, now the ministers were all sitting around as well, so. He told him, if you want to marry my daughter, you're going to have to bring a dowry that is worthy for marrying my daughter. You know, that's what some people today think. They think they're the king as well, mashallah. A person comes to marry, and they told him, we want a Mercedes, a house, and $1 million in the bank. You know, you don't have those, ma'a salama, go, fi ma'alla. You know, this. So, he told him, we want some dowry that's good. He said, like what? He said, well, we want these jewels and these stones of these shapes, something that's impossible. You know, like they can't even find it. Even if he was a prince, he would not be able to find it. So this man went. He was very depressed. He came back home. Isa alayhi salam saw him. He told him, what is the matter? He said, well, this is impossible. He's asking me for this and this. He said, no problem. Isa alayhi salam went because the house was a ruins. You know, they were living in ruins. So he went into the court of the house. And there were like, you know, some pebbles and stones and rocks and things like that. Isa alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn these into whatever the king has requested. And by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these rocks and these pebbles turned into gold and silver and all these jewelries. So then he told him, take whatever you want and take it to the king. So this boy took it and mashallah ran. You know, he ran to the king. The king looked at it. He was shocked. This poor fellow bringing these things. He told him, you know what? I want twice as much. So he went back to Isa alayhi salam. Isa told him, no problem. Go to the court and take as much as you want. So he went, he took again and he came back. Then the king was shocked. He told him, come, I want to talk to you privately here. What is this? Where are you getting all this? He said, well, we had a guest who came to visit our house a couple nights ago. And this guest is the one who's giving me all these things. The king thought for a second. He said, who's your guest? He said, I don't know, but he seems to be a good man. He says, these features are none but of that of Ruhullah, Isa ibn Maryam. Bring him to me. If he is the one, bring him to me, bring him with you, and tell him that he will be the one conducting the nikah, the marriage, for my daughter to you. So indeed, he went, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam came. This king saw that was Isa alayhi salam in the companionship of this young man. So indeed, the marriage was conducted. When the marriage was conducted, the king started talking to this young man. He saw him also a very smart boy. He's very intelligent. He's wise. So he liked him. He told him, I'm going to make you my successor because I don't have any boys. I don't have any boys. So you'll be my successor. He said, okay. So he gathered all his kingdom and they paid their allegiance to this son-in-law. The next day, the king dies. MashaAllah, what a great fortune this boy was. The king finished. SubhanAllah. So not only did he get the jewels and the kid and the whatever, you know, the wife, he also got the kingdom now. So Isa alayhi salam at that point turned to him and said, my job is done here. Now I'm about to leave. Ma'a salama, khalas, fima Allah. This man said, wait a minute. There is something that was bothering me all last night. He said, what? He said, within 2 days, you managed to turn my life upside down. You turned my life around. I was the poorest man in the city. You made me become the king of the city. And I'm wondering, if this is the case, why are you living like this? You look like, you know, a very modest, poor-looking fellow, you know, humble. If these are your abilities and your capabilities, then why don't you do it for yourself? So Isa alayhi salam looked at him and he said, if you can taste the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize what Allah has prepared for His servants in the Akhirah, none of this would be worth anything for you. All this would be worthless. You can taste what Allah has prepared for us in the Akhirah and what is the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is sufficient. So this young man said, well, I want to taste that. He said, but you have now all the kingdom. He said, these come with responsibilities. These responsibilities come with consequences. So he said, I don't want this kingdom. I don't want anything. I want to be your companion. I want to stay with you. Ya Ruhallah. Do you accept me as your companion? He said, if that's what you choose, you're more than welcome to come. He left the kingdom and he joined Isa salamullahi alayhi. Isa then left the city with this man and came outside. Who was outside? Who was waiting for him? The disciples. He told them, this is the treasure that I was telling you about. I found my treasure in the city. This is the treasure. So the human being, he himself chooses. He has the potential of either ascending to become among one of the companions of Isa salamullahi alayhi, or he could have been the king, and he could have then followed his desires by oppressing people, stealing from people, and so on and so forth. like we see some people happening in this dunya. The minute they take the leadership, then mashallah, everything changes. So, the human being is the one who's got the choice. Allah gives him the choice. And he has that potential. Now, the human being can choose to ascend. If the human being chooses to follow the ruh, then he will ascend to a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi, لَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدُ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. The servant of mine continues to get closer to me and closer to me by performing the nawafil, which means the extras. Some ulama interpret nawafil as the wajibat, the salat, the siyam that Allah has prescribed upon us. If a servant performs them well, then he continues to become closer to Allah. Others say, no, not just the wajibat, but the mustahabbat. For example, praying salat al-layl. A person every night prays salat al-layl. A person, for example, fasting the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, not only Ramadan. A person fasting, for example, the day of Eid al-Ghadir. Fasting on the 17th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the wilada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasting on the 27th day of Rajab, the day of the Mab'ath. Fasting on the 15th day of Sha'ban. So, these excess, when a person does them, a person giving sadaqat, not just the khums and the zakat, which is wajib, he gives sadaqah, which is mustahab. So such an individual, the hadith al-Qudsi says, he continues getting closer to Allah until I start loving him. And when I love him, then I become the eyes through which he sees, the ears through which he hears with, the hands through which he works and the feet through which he walks. And that is the similar thing with another hadith that says, my servant, obey me and you will become like me. You say to something, be, and it becomes. Like me, of course, doesn't mean like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similar to Allah. No, that's of course not. Likeness here is not identical with Allah wal-iyadu billah. No, all it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the abd, that servant, the ability that he can self-taste with something. Kun fayakun. It is said Abu Dhar al-Ghafari one day came to visit Salman. Abu Dhar al-Ghafari came to visit Salman. The Prophet says about Salman, he is minna ahl al-bayt and Salman al-Muhammadi. One day there was a man next to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He asked him, he said, can you tell me about Salman al-Farisi? Imam al-Sadiq told him, don't say Farisi. The Prophet called him Muhammadi. So say Salman al-Muhammadi. And the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen says that Salman is the Luqman of this nation, Luqman of this ummah. So Salman was one of the companions who had a very high ranking. One day Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, who is also a great companion, Abu Dhar is not an ordinary companion, but he is not at the level of Salman. One day he went to visit him. Salman was cooking something in a pot. Accidentally the pot trips and falls. Now Abu Dhar saw that the contents, you know, the stew that was in the pot did not spill, did not get poured. Salman came, took the pot, put it back. And then again, a second time, accidentally, it also got pushed, and it fell a second time. Again, the contents did not fall. And Salman came and put it back. Abu Dhar was in a state of shock. And he left the house of Salman. He was walking, you know, spaced out. So, he comes across Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells him, ya Abu Dhar, what is this? What's wrong with you? You seem to be shocked. He said, I saw a miracle from Salman. He said, what did you see? He said, this is what I saw. Twice, that pot trips or falls, the content, nothing happens to it. Stays in there. How is that possible? He said, ya Abu Dhar, don't be shocked. This is Salman. If you know what is in the heart of Salman from knowledge, you might think that, you know, he is not even a Muslim. And you would wish to kill him. That's how much knowledge Salman holds in his heart. That even Abu Dharr cannot withstand. He cannot withstand that knowledge. We all have capacity. We have capacities. Just like we have physical capacities. Now if you take two people who are the same age, one of them, for example, might be able to lift 50 kilos. Another one might only be able to lift 20 kilos, depending on their physical features. Spiritually, we also have capacities. Some people can only lift 20 kilos of knowledge, metaphorically speaking. Others can lift 1,000. So Salman can lift that much. That's why the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq says, أَمْرُنَا صَعْبٌ مُسْتَصْعَبٌ. Our command, Ahlul Bayt, is not easy. Not everybody can accept it. Only a true mu'min, a prophet, or a divine successor of a prophet, or a true mu'min, can accept our command and our amr. So the human being can become like Salman, can ascend that way, or if he chooses to follow his desires, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Those individuals who follow their desires, they're like animals. In fact, they are worse than animals. Why? Because animals don't have a aql. They don't have a mind. The human being has the mind. But he chooses to turn it off. So this is the human being, brothers and sisters. He can ascend such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him through his sight, through his hearing, through his tongue, through his hand and feet, and so on and so forth. Alternatively, the human being can even ascend to a higher status, higher than that. And what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts through this individual. Allah acts through this individual. Allah becomes angry for the anger of this individual. Allah becomes happy for the happiness of that individual. This is even a higher status. This is the status of the awsiya, the prophets, the divine people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says about Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. He says, فَلَمَّا in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 55, فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَ انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. When they angered us, referring to Fir'aun and his family, and his people, when they angered us, we took revenge from them. Who is us? Allah didn't say when he angered me. Us. Who is us? This is Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun disappointed Musa, angered Musa alayhi salam. But because Musa is wali of awliya Allah as-salihin, the prophet of Allah, then Allah became angry for the anger of Musa. So then Allah said, we took revenge from them. And Imam Sadiq explained this in a hadith. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he takes certain believers who submit to him, like the prophets, like the divine successor of prophets, like our imams, alayhimu salam. Those individuals, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy when they're happy, and becomes angry when they're angry. And hence he will command and he will act, depending on their state. If they're happy with an individual, Allah will bless that individual. If they get angry with that individual, Allah will curse that individual. So now that we understood this, inshallah, we see that the human being can ascend in all these degrees. You see these degrees now? So the human being can obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that Allah guides that individual through his eyes, ears, and then he can ascend even higher, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts through that individual's wants and needs. If he becomes angry, Allah will become angry for him. If he becomes happy, Allah will become happy with those who are happy with him. And this is, of course, that individual has to be ma'soom, asma. That's why the hadith of the Prophet, when he says, whomever angers Fatima angers me, and whomever angers me angers Allah. Fatima could not be angered for any materialistic reason. This is an indication she's ma'soomah. She's infallible. Because her anger would anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So now what does it mean when Allah says they forgot about Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves? couple of interpretations. One is that those individuals, people, they think that they are independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I am knowledgeable because I studied hard, I worked hard, and I became such a professor, or I became a Nobel laureate, or I became to this status. That is what he thinks, independently. When in fact Allah says, we are the one who taught this human being. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. We taught the human being things he did not know of. We are the teachers. We are the educators. We are the ones who gave him the ability to become rich. We gave you the money. You did not earn it independently, but the human being thinks, no, I'm independent. I have it. I have the wealth. I have enough money to suffice me for the next 100 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overnight in a financial crisis where the whole system collapsed, everything is also collapsed. He slept as a billionaire, he woke up penniless. So that is through the state of Allah. A human being thinks that he is independent of Allah. And hence he does not realize he is the poor and Allah is the rich. He does not realize he is the ignorant and Allah is the knowledgeable. He does not realize that he is the weak and Allah is the strong. That's why in dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, Imam al-Sajjad tries to emphasize this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To us. He says, إِلَهِ أَنَا الْفَقِيرُ الَّذِي أَغْنَيْتَ وَأَنَا الْجَاهِلُ الَّذِي عَلَّمْتَ وَأَنَا الضَّالُ الَّذِي هَدَيْتَ. O Allah, I am the poor one whom you enriched me. I am the ignorant one whom you educated me. I am the one who was misguided, you guided me. So I'm not independent of you, Ya Allah. I need you. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, O people, you are the poor ones. أنتم الفقراء. You are the poor. Even if you become the wealthiest man on the earth, you're still poor. You're too poor. You can't even stop a little bug from entering into your system and killing you. So why do you think you're such a mighty person, powerful person, when a little bug can kill you? Ma'mun al-Abbasi, Ma'mun. You know this man. He went fishing with some people, with his army. His army was camping in Khorasan, and they went by a pond. So he saw a fish. He said, get this fish for me, catch it. The fish splashed some water. That water splashed on him. This water, this Khalifa, this Abbasi Caliph, who had everything in dunya, he became ill. He became ill and then he had the flu. And that water, these splashes that caused him to have the flu, made him become so ill that at the end he told his army, take me to the top of the mountain. They took him to the top of the mountain. He looked at all his army. And he realized these were his last moments. He said, O Lord, Ya man la yafna mulkuh, irham man qad faniya mulkah. O one whose kingdom does not perish, have mercy upon the one whose kingdom has just perished. And he died. This man who killed Imam al-Ghubba, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, for the Khilafah, for this kingdom. Water, splashed by a fish, killed him. So that is how weak the human being is. But he forgets about this. So when he forgets about how needy he is to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it says he has forgotten about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when he forgets about himself. He does not realize how poor his self is. That's one meaning. A second meaning, some ulama say, is that the human being fails to understand that he can elevate to become attached to the ruh, to the soul, such that he can say to things happen and they become. He forgets about this. He doesn't understand this. And he gets indulged into the sin and the desires. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So my brothers and my sisters, if we take a look at some individuals in history and the decisions they make, some of them chose to go up higher. Others went down. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, he chose to follow Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Muslim ibn Aqil, however, he chose to follow Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent him as an ambassador to Kufa. He arrives to Kufa. Everybody is out there welcoming him. Come on, welcome. You're the ambassador of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And by the way, when Imam Hussein chooses Muslim as his ambassador, this means that Muslim ibn Aqil was a faqih, alim, a knowledgeable scholar, was not an ordinary person, because he's representing who? Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When a country sends an ambassador to another country, they make sure they choose the best person, because he's representing them. They make sure he knows all the laws and the ins and the outs of the country. He represents them. So he represents Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that's how great Muslim ibn Aqil was. They accepted him, they welcomed him. One day, Han ibn Urwa, who was a great muttaqi and a mu'min, who was not feeling well, he told Muslim, listen Muslim, you come to my house today, Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad is coming to visit me today. You hide behind the curtain. When Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad comes and sits, I will make a signal. Once I make that signal, you come and kill him. Finish him. Khalas. So a Muslim went behind the curtain. Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad came to visit Han ibn Urwa. Han ibn Urwa started making a signal once, twice, 10 times. Nothing. Until finally, Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad finished his visit, got up and left. Muslim came out of the tent, the curtain. Hani said, why didn't you come and kill him and finish us? You know, finish this man. He said, it is not our trait, Bani Hashim, to kill someone from behind. We don't kill that way. When we fight with honor. That's us, Bani Hashim. And then Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad started hunting for Muslim ibn Aqil, threatening people. So every mother came and took her child away, her son away. And the wife came and took her husband away. And the son would come and take his father away. Otherwise you'll all be killed. So one day he was praying in Masjid al-Kufa. There were two people praying behind him. He finished Salat al-Isha. They were with him. He exits the Masjid of Kufa, he turns around, nobody is there. He wanted to tell people, which way shall we go? I don't know the city very well. He didn't know. Nobody was there. He was left all alone. This is a lesson, brothers and sisters. Once a task needs to be accomplished, cannot be accomplished by one man. It needs the unity of the mu'mineen, of the people, to accomplish a task. So people have to put their hands together, their hearts together to accomplish success and to move their societies and communities forward. Otherwise, nothing can be accomplished by one person. So Muslim ibn Aqil goes at night. He finds a door. He sits at that door. A lady comes out of the door. She says, who are you? She said, what do you want? He said, I'm thirsty. Do you have water? She said, yes. She went inside, got water, came out. She gave it to him. Then she went inside, a little while later she came out. She said, why are you still sitting at my door? I'm an old lady, I have no one here. I don't give you permission to sit at my door. Go to your family. He said, lady, I have no family in this city. I'm all alone. She said, who are you? He said, أنا مسلم ابن عقيل. Safir al-Hussein alayhi salam. I am Muslim. She said, you are Muslim? He said, yes, I'm Muslim. And the people of Kufa have betrayed me. They've invited me and now they've left me all alone. I have nowhere to turn to. Nowhere to go to. She said, my name is Tawa. And you are my guest for the night. Come and stay at my house. He came into her house, he went to a room and started praying the whole night. In the middle of the night, this Tawa's son arrives. He sees the mother going into that room and coming out, going in and coming out. He says, "Mother, I see you going into that room very frequently. What's going on here?" She said, "Son, if I tell you, you promise never to tell anyone?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Muslim ibn Aqil is in that room." Now this son, unfortunately, he followed desires, shahwa. He followed desires. He was looking for the prize that Ibn Ziyad set on finding Muslim. So he ran towards Ibn Ziyad and he told him, "Muslim ibn Aqil is in our house." Just after praying Salatul Subh, after spending the whole night in Ibadah, the army arrives at the door. Tawa turns to Muslim. She said, "Ya Muslim, the people have arrived. The enemies have arrived." He said, "Give me my sword." She gave him his sword. He took his sword. He took the gate of the house. He took it out as an armor. And he started fighting. Fighting and fighting and fighting. The leader of the army who was in charge was a man by the name of Qais ibn al-Ash'ath. He wrote to Ibn Ziyad. He sent him a messenger, "Send me more men." So he sent him 200 men. A little while later, he wrote to him, "Send me more men." He sent him 200 more. A little while later, he said, "Send me more men." Ibn Ziyad said to him, "I sent you to capture one man, not an army. Why do you need so many people?" Qais ibn al-Ash'ath said to him, "Did you send me to capture an ordinary person? هذا سيف من سيوف بني هاشم. This man is like a sword of the swords of Bani Hashim. You send me to Muslim ibn Aqil. Send me more men." And they continued on sending him men and fighting, and they were not able to defeat him. Until finally they said, "We cannot defeat him like this." So they dug a big hole into the ground and they managed to push him into the hole. That's how they were able to capture Muslim ibn Aqil. Then they captured his hands, they tied his hands, his teeth broke in the process. They took him to the palace of Ibn Ziyad. At the gate of the palace, they said, "Muslim, do you want anything?" He said, "I'm thirsty, I need some water." They gave him a cup of water, his teeth fell into the cup and it was full of blood. He said, "I guess Allah does not want me to drink this water before I die." He left it. Then Ibn Ziyad came to him and there was some discussion between the two of them. Then Ubaydullah Ibn Ziyad ordered one of his men to take Muslim to the top of the palace, kill him, cut his head off and throw the body of Muslim from the top of the palace. They took Muslim to the top. Muslim turned to this man and he said, "Allow me to pray 2 rak'at salat before you take my life." He said, "Go ahead, ya Muslim." Muslim prayed the 2 rak'at salat. Then he got up and he turned towards Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in Medina. Qala as-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah ya. هذا ابن عمك مسلم ابن عقيل غريب في الكوفة او يا ابا عبد الله this is your cousin مسلم ابن عقيل all alone in Kufa people have betrayed me يا ابا عبد الله it is said Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام was sitting down Then they saw him getting up. He turned towards Kufa and he said, "Wa alayka as-salam ya Muslim. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We will be following you soon ya Muslim and joining you soon. That's when the enemy of Allah hit Muslim with one strike on the sword on his neck. Nothing happened to Muslim. Then he hit him a second time, his head fell from his body and they threw the body of Muslim from the top of the palace. Then they dragged his feet into the streets of Kufa. Tawa came out of her house when she saw Muslim ibn Aqil being dragged. She said, "Inna lillah
وإنا إليه راجعون. مصيبتهم مصيبة صدع الجبال، ومن قبل المشي بالشيب الأطفال، أنا شفت ميت يجرون بالحبال. يا صاح لا تظن صارت مثلها.
Then the news reached Abi Abdullah al-Hussein that Muslim ibn Aqil has been killed in Kufa. When the news reached, he said, bring me the daughter of Muslim, Hamida. She was few years old. They brought him Hamida. He took Hamida. He made her sit on his lap. And then he started wiping over her head. This little girl looked at Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. She said, Am Aba Abdullah, ma laka tasna'u bi ma yusna'u bil aytayam. Hal qutila walidi Muslim.
Oh, Uncle Abu Abdullah, why are you treating me the way you treat orphans? Have my father Muslim been killed? Imam Hussein could not stop his tears. He said, my little girl, I am your father here. قال بني أنا أبوك وبناتي أخواتك. And my daughters are like your sisters or my little girl. Then the little girl started weeping and crying, Aywa abataya, aywa muslimaya.
The Sukaina was there watching what Hamida is doing and what her father is doing to Hamida. And she remembered this. When did she remember this? On the day of Ashura. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam came back and he told Zainab, Ya Zainab, call all the daughters and all the women. This is the last time I'm going to come and see you. This is the final farewell, Ya Zainab. So she gathered all the women and the children. They all came and kissed Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He looked after them all. Then he said, Zainab, I don't see Sukaina. Where is she? She said, brother, Ya Abu Abdullah, she's in the tent. She could not have the patience to see you leaving. So he went into the tent. He saw her sitting in the corner of the tent crying. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, this master, this compassionate imam. Imagine his state when he is looking at his own daughter, Sukaina, this few years old girl, crying in front of him. This really broke his heart. He looked at her and he said, Sukaina, stop your tears. You know, I cannot bear to see your tears, Ya Sukaina. She said, Father, how can I stop my tears when I know that you are leaving and I won't be seeing you again anymore? She said, Father, but I have one request from you. He said, Yes, Ya Sukaina, what do you want? She said, On the day when you wiped on Hamida's head, I want you to wipe on my head right now as well, because in few hours, in few minutes, I will be orphaned as well. But I won't have you to wipe over my head. I will have Shimmer hitting me, Zajr beating me. The tents will be burnt. Oh, Father Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, Athar al-Abu ya Naskhim. يفيع على ابناته وحريم يا والدي والله ضيم أنا أصير من زغري يتيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين.
Raise your hands for the dua, مؤمنين المؤمنات.
Several people have requested our dua. Some people who have حاجات, they've requested the dua. Couple of people who are not feeling well. One of them is having a surgery soon in Vancouver. Another lady who is in the hospital for a month. And they still have not diagnosed her issue and her problem. I was just called today and they asked me to pray for her as well, from the Sajjad family. So for her shifa, the shifa of this mu'min in Vancouver, for the shifa of all mu'mineen and mu'minat, for the fulfillment of the hajat, raise your hand right now.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله مع محمد وآله الأطهار يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله إلهي بمسلم ابن عقيل اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله إلهي بمسلم ابن عقيل شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله على الخصوص من أوصونا بالدعاء العلوي رضوان سجاد وكل المؤمنين والمؤمنات المرضى منهم اللهم ألبسهم لباس العافية يا الله اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين عاجلا يا الله وشفاعته عاجلا يا الله اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات